you can host the best backyard barbecue. When you find a professional on Angie to make your backyard the best around. Connect with skilled professionals to get all your home projects done well. Inside to outside, repairs to renovations. Get started on the Angie app or visit Angie.com today. You can do this when you Angie that.
Greetings, citizens of Earth and all beings, both extraterrestrial and interdimensional. My name is Danny Roth, and this is Who Won the Week, Sci-Fi Wire's podcast dedicated to the top stories from the week in geek. I am joined this week by my co-hosts and friends, the Blurred Girl, Kara Mahorn, and Sci-Fi Wire's own editor-in-chief, Adam Swiderski. Hello, team.
Good morning.
Hello.
We're all back together,
yes,
for the first time in
guys.
Many, many moons.
Missed you guys.
We missed you too. So this is nice.
No, I'm kidding.
Adam didn't.
No, I love everyone. It's great.
But me.
No, especially you and not Danny.
Wow.
That's true.
This is cold-blooded. Y'all got cool t-shirts. I got a mustache. I feel like it's going to be a good podcast.
Adam does have a cool t-shirt. I just noticed. Yes. Yeah. It's very cool.
Yes. Yes.
Very old school.
You can't see it, but it's a Strong Bad t-shirt that says your head explode. What's the name of the game? Do you remember the name of the game?
Strong Bad Zone.
Oh, is that what it's called?
Yeah.
All right. It's been a while.
We should start videotaping our podcast so people can see.
We used to do it back in the day. Well, I'll tell you what. We'll take a photo and maybe we'll
show
add
everybody.
It into the. We'll put it on Twitter or something.
We're pushing the boundaries of multimedia presentation right
so
here
can
on
see our
Who Won the Week.
Yeah, no one's ever done that before. Anyways,
yes.
It's the week before San Diego Comic Con.
Is it really?
It is. I don't know if you heard.
I hadn't heard. It's not like we've been.
Keep
we haven't been sleeping. We literally haven't been sleeping, people.
I've been doing
you know
a lot of sit-ups and push-ups and walking around to try and like prepare myself, since mostly all I do is just sit at a desk and write.
Yeah, you just need a good back brace, buddy.
I guess so. It's going to be rough. It's going
to
be real rough.
I've just been paying two people to like scream in one into each ear for hours at a time.
So you can get used to the decibel?
Yeah, or just like the stress level. So my adrenaline, I get used to the level of adrenaline and stress hormones that'll be flowing through my body at the time.
I think I'll do what my wife usually does in these situations, which is just have like a small woman step on my back. I feel like that'll be the thing that I'll
sort of
like.
I don't even understand where you're going to find one of them at San Diego.
Oh no, I'll go to New York. I'll go into Manhattan and find. There's plenty of tiny women who will walk on your back until it feels better. And I feel like I'm going to need that. And also it'll be like getting trampled, a thing that can also happen while you're in San Diego.
There you go.
No judgments. No judgments.
So,
We're all friends here.
So in weeks previous, it's been kind of quiet. But I find the week right before San Diego, you start to like...
Oh, no, it seems like this
things
week...
Things start to happen.
Like, I'm afraid to check my email. Like, every 10 minutes, it's like, boom, like 30 more things. And Adam, I can't even imagine.
I'm fine. We're all fine here now.
That's how I classify Adam Swiderski. I'm always like, Adam, it's fine, Swiderski.
No,
that's
but right. Adam's perpetual gif is like the dog in that cartoon
with the fire all around him.
Everything's fine. Everything's fine.
Right.
Anyway, but it's been a busier week. There's a lot of news that came out. Some comic news came out about Wonder Woman. There's been some announcements for both Marvel and DC movies. There's been talk of another RoboCop film. And then the Emmys happened. So it was a pretty big week. So can't wait for San Diego. But before we talk about those things, we've been doing this thing for like, I don't know, like 2.5 years, 140 whatever episodes of the podcast where we talk about things that we're personally geeking out about. But I mean, I don't know. Every week, I'm not sure if we should keep doing it. And I always defer to Adam and his impassioned plea. Adam, should we continue doing it? Yes, sir.
Hold on 1 second. I'm rolling. I have the dice bag app on my phone, and I am rolling a
d20. Wait, okay, is it going to be like above 11 and below?
Above 10? It's 50-50. Let's make it 50-50.
Did he just call you a dice bag?
No.
Whoa.
No. All right, here we go. 12. We should do it.
Wow.
Yeah.
We rolled the figurative dice.
Yes, exactly.
And now we're going to do it. All right. Well, Adam, since you were the roller and I am the GM in this case, what was winning your week?
Well, I finished Persepolis Rising, the most recently published novel in the Expanse series, which was outstanding. once again, and I'm not just kissing the butts of the authors because I have done a podcast with them. It's
an amazing series.
It is, and it's just like one every time I jump into a new book, there's a little bit of a period at the beginning where I'm like, it's been a while since I read the last one. Am I going to be able to get the momentum going again? And then by the end, I'm in can't put it down reading while I walk through the streets of New York mode.
Almost getting hit by cars.
Yes, exactly. Or running into poles.
Oh, no.
Yeah, that's only happened to me once. But so I finished that, and then which was great. And the great part about James S. A. Corey is that they work their butts off. I mean, they're in the middle of writing and producing the new season of The Expanse for Amazon, and they still have the, I think, next book in the series, which is the penultimate book in the series, coming out this winter, like December of this year or November.
Can they do something about George R. R. Martin?
Right? I was just reminded yesterday that it's been 7 years since the last Song of Ice and Fire book came out.
Yikes.
7 years. It's just never happening. I think people need to just let that one go. But anyway, so I finished that book and I'm very much looking forward to the next one. And then I started a book called Artemis by Andy Weir, who wrote The Martian, which was made into a major motion picture starring Matt Damon. And this is his second novel, which is about it's basically like a Western heist movie type or heist story on the moon, you know, like in a moon colony.
Oh, that old story.
Yeah. And it's not, I mean, it's not as like The Martian was very like, we could potentially have someone on Mars living in this kind of habitat, you know, 20, 30 years from now. This is more a little farther future, I think, in terms of this well-established, you know, basically frontier town moon colony that this takes place on or in. But, you know, so far, I'm really early days on it, but it's very compelling so far. The guy writes a good story. And, like, one of the things I think that people kind of had an issue with the last book was that some of the characters were a little thin. I personally didn't, because I was like, when I was reading, I was like, wow, I can't wait to see the movie of this so I can see who the actors are that take these parts, because that'll flesh out the character more just based on who the actor is. And this book, I feel like it's so far, at least anyway, I'm getting a little more character out of it in addition to the cool science and science fiction aspects of it. So book world for me this past week, that's been it.
That's the world they never talk about on Westworld, but that's maybe right. In season three.
It's just one big library that you can't leave.
Oh, well, actually, yeah. Interesting. I guess they did kind of. They did that. They do talk about that then in season two. Wow, spoilers for Westworld, but book world does exist. What about you, Karima?
Speaking of Westworld, yes. I've been doing a lot of catching up on things, and Westworld was one of those shows. Expanse was the other, because I was behind, and I got to the end of the season, and I'm like, oh my God, it was amazing! And just both shows I'm excited about, and I think I know what George R. R. Martin's been up to. The other thing I'm excited about this week is Night Flyers. I too have been reading a book without pictures, and it dawned on me after I started reading the book that I think I started reading the book years ago, but it was a different version. So there's different adaptations, I guess, of Night Flyers. The one I'm reading right now, they're calling it a graphic edition, but it's not a comic book. Like, every chapter there's like a picture, but that's not like necessarily, it's not like a graphic novel. But anyway, Night Flyers is fascinating, and no, I'm not just saying this because I am going to be hosting the panel in here at San Diego Comic-Con. I actually find this universe, I find space opera, Western, horror, psychological stuff, all of it, very, very interesting. If it happens in space, you have my attention. So, not to say that I hate Game of Thrones, it's just not as much of my cup of tea as this is. And where I really feel that this is going to be a very interesting, if you're into horror, but specifically psychological horror, I think people are going to find this one. I don't want to jinx it and say, oh, this is going to be the most amazing thing ever. I'm not saying that because I haven't seen the whole thing. I literally only seen part of the pilot. But it's definitely a story where you're in space and there is an unknown entity that is the antagonist. But at first, it seems like the antagonist might be other members of the crew. And I think the other interesting thing about Night Flyers is the ship is called Night Flyer. The passengers on the ship, they're not astronauts. They're all scientists. So there's certain things that already that kind of screws things up. The only person who's a real astronaut is the captain, who only appears to everybody as a hologram. And it's like they don't see him physically. There's a story behind that. Clearly, I'm not getting into that. You have to watch. But it's this, yes, there's an unknown entity, but part of that unknown entity is people's fears of each other and people making assumptions that get basically exacerbated when you put everybody on a tin can in space. So I think it speaks to also society a little bit, which I find really, really, really fascinating, interesting. And it's scary as hell. Somebody had asked me whether or not it was Event Horizon. I'm like, I can see the parallels because of the way like the trailer was shown or whatever. But I, from what I've seen so far, I feel like this is so much better than Event Horizon because this is literally what I think it should have been. And the cast is amazing. And I literally between the book and I actually had a conversation with the showrunner. And he actually said, excuse me, he actually mentioned that they're going to be sticking pretty close to the book as possible, Jeff Bueller. And I'm excited about it. I'm actually excited about this. And it's been a long time since I've read a book, a science fiction novel that I have not been able to put down. It's been a real, and we get like, I think we talked about this a lot, like sci-fi fatigue, superhero fatigue.
Yeah.
This book I could not put down, and I really, really hope they're able to bring all that to the screen. And George R. R. Martin seems to be very involved with the show. He's not show running it. He's not like looking at all the scripts, but he seems to be very, very involved otherwise, looking at cuts and things like that. So that's probably why he hasn't given you the book that you want.
Oh, no, I don't. I just like to give people a bad time.
I think he's just done. I think he's over it. That's my theory. Anyway.
Yeah. I don't know.
He's got all that HBO money. He doesn't need anything.
This is nice.
Well, we got to the end of that segment.
Yeah, that's the end of that.
Oh, well. What else do you want to talk about, Adam?
Wait, hold on. Oh, my gosh. Danny.
What, is there something on my face?
No. I want to know what you are geeking out about this week.
Well, first of all, there's nothing on my face. So that is a huge, huge win.
But we can't prove it
for the week
to them because
I mean, like, you're gonna have to take it on faith. But no, there's like a lot of stuff that was going on this week. I want to say that the mysterious black sarcophagus is winning my week. That's like one thing out there. I'm like, please end this world.
Yeah,
I'm ready.
Just open it.
Just open it. I'm ready.
Just let it happen.
I'm ready.
Well, my favorite theory from Twitter was someone said they're going to open the black sarcophagus and
David Bowie's
going to be in it, and he's going to fix the timeline using the knowledge that he gained on the other side.
Yeah, I like that.
Yeah.
Sounds good. Yeah. So that was
Except
one thing.
Except he'll be stopped by Prince.
No.
Why would Prince stop him? They would work together.
Totally joking.
Maybe they're in there together.
And probably make out.
I was going to say, they're probably in there together.
Yeah.
All right, cool. Yeah. Cracked it. I mean, like, is there going to be another adjoining? Maybe they'll find another sarcophagus and, like, Tom Petty will be in there too. And he won't have done anything, but he'll just be like, oh yeah, hey, I'm still nice. And I'll be like, yeah, Tom Petty, you are nice. Every time I get sad, I like watch old interviews with you and I'm like, oh, what a nice guy. Yeah. Anyway, what was winning my week for real though was there was like a little interview where somebody asked Robert Duncan McNeil, who played Tom Paris on Star Trek Voyager and who got his start directing on Voyager and then went on to do a lot of directing and producing. They were like, hey, are you going to direct any Star Trek Discovery? And he said, no. And I was like, aw. And then he said, but the reason why is because I did take a meeting with them and basically they said, well, we want to get a lot more diverse people behind the camera, specifically in directorial role. And so I was happy to say, like, cool. So, like, I don't need to do it. They already have Jonathan Two Takes Frakes. They already have that's the name that he goes by.
I know.
But so Two Takes Frakes is already there. He's doing another episode. Marina Sirtis, like, rumored maybe she's going to, like, show up somewhere. So they already have that on lock. So to me, it's exciting just to say, like, in general, that they're going to bring in a lot more new blood. But, like, you know, like, with Tignataro coming in this season and, like, a lot of other news kind
of
coming out.
First of all, can I just say how excited I am?
Yeah.
That she's going to be on there. Just Tignataro being deadpan on that show. It's going to be everything.
Yeah, I think she's going to be great. And yeah, I just, it reminded me that that Star Trek Discovery is still out there, and that despite some of the sort of the controversies that have happened around it season to season, that there's still, I don't know, there's still good news. There's still exciting, progressive things happening in the world of Star Trek, and that made me feel real happy.
I'm also looking forward to what they also reveal at San Diego.
Yeah.
Because I feel like
we might start seeing some of this stuff. We might start seeing, like, maybe they'll announce who some of the directors are. I'm very, very curious to see who else is going to be involved this year. It's exciting. Anyway, so that was what was winning my week and your week. And now we're going to talk about what was winning the week. Why don't we start with some Marvel and DC movie news, because they were sort of like, it's always like it's always like competition, right? It's like Marvel does a thing and it's like, wait a minute, like, gotta have this DC thing, although this time it was the reverse. So two things happened. One, they confirmed that yes, indeedly doodly, there will be this off non-DCEU Joker movie, and yes, it will star
Joaquin
Phoenix, who has got the best name ever. Sounds like somebody is, like, getting into a sword fight. Joaquin.
Oh, my God.
Like, that's what it sounds like, and it's a good name. And then the other news was that they announced that they had finally got a director in to direct the Black Widow movie that is going to, I guess, be, like, mostly, not prequel, I guess, but, like, I don't know, like, flashback stuff. They're going to show what Natasha was up to before she, you know, starts, like, hanging out in Iron Man 2 and then beyond. So those two things got announced.
I gotta say, the whole Joker thing is like, really? We need two in within...
There's only two? I thought there were at least three.
Oh, now there's three.
Don't we have the Leonardo DiCaprio one?
Is that still going to happen? Still the Scorsese thing?
I have no idea.
Like, why? But, like,
it's all
why?
The whole thing is like, it's all a joke. It's all a joke on us.
It might be.
There you go.
At the
that
end,
would actually make me happy.
We're going to go into the theater and sit down, and it's just going to be a picture of a gun with a flag that shoots out of it and says ha 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 on it, and that's going to be the end.
That would just make me happy at this point, because I'm just like, why do we need... Okay, they have enough money, Warner Brothers,
sure,
to do, and there's nothing against Joaquin or any or anybody
it's Joaquin
else. Yeah, I can't do it like that. So but I feel like... They have enough money to do two Joker movies, but didn't have enough money to fix Cable's upper lip. Like, how, Sway?
I don't really know what to say. Like, Henry Cavill is not a great topic for conversation this week.
Well, yes, obviously.
Like, maybe it wasn't that they didn't have the money, but, like, maybe he just said something foolish and people were like, let's make him look bad.
Maybe. And honestly, after this week, I can believe it. I don't know. I feel like they've been working on Green Lantern forever or coming up with it. Aquaman's not out yet. I know it's coming, but it's just like, do we really? But then I had to think, how many major characters, because DC works a little bit different than Marvel, their major characters are Batman, Superman, Wonder Woman. So Joker, I guess, is, and we are getting a Harley Quinn movie, and apparently we're getting two of those, because
who knows?
Or possibly two of those.
Maybe.
It's not so much why are they doing two, or maybe it's they just don't look at their secondary characters as much as Marvel does.
I think they need a win, honestly. Mm. And, you know, what was their last big unequivocal win was probably The Dark Knight, right? Everybody loved Heath Ledger's Joker. And, oh, by the way, Suicide Squad made a ton of money, and that had the Joker in it.
Like, I mean,
I think it's a hedge. It's
actually, the Joker wasn't really that much in.
But still, and people were talking about it. You know, it was a big news when his first pictures came out and everything. So I think it's just they're like, hey, people respond to this character. You know, let's lean into it. And I you know, it's just interesting because interestingly enough, I feel like Marvel, when they started out, went the opposite direction and picked a B-level hero and built from there. And
everything on a major character.
Yeah, well, and it's kind of DC is jumping into the stakes are already high. You know, it's not, they don't have the luxury of let's start humble and build, or they at least have not taken that as a plan to as a way to approach this superhero cinema world. So I don't know. I mean, honestly, I am unenthused about the idea of a Joaquin Phoenix Joker movie, just because, like, I, like, okay, we've seen the Joker. That will be the sixth person to play the Joker on screen, seventh if you count Mark Hamill or something like that. So, you know, there are so many good characters and villains and interesting stories to tell in the DC universe, and we keep coming back to these same ones over and over again. And it's a shame.
I just think
it's a shame. You know, there's a lot of material out there that could be really interesting and fun if they would just go for it. And I think people would respond if the movie's good, you know, if it's like, if it delivers and it doesn't, like, I think that's what Iron Man showed, is that if the movie delivers, it doesn't matter if the character is B tier and maybe, you know, everyone and their mother hasn't heard of them.
And I also think that when Iron Man started out, it was a smaller team. I think the storytelling was better.
Yeah.
Because it wasn't like, okay, now we have 97 people we have to put in this movie with this guy.
Right. They've said, though, that they're going to focus on more standalone storytelling, I think, in their movies now, which I fully support that. I think
because
that's
it worked with Logan.
Well, and I just think it's, again, the expanded universe is something you build to. It's not something that you just dive into from the beginning. And I think doing that was what kind of, one of the things I think that hurt them from the beginning of this whole plan. So yeah, do a bunch of standalone movies and get people interested in your brand and your cinematic voice first, and then see what you can do. So that I support, but I just wish they would go a little deeper into the roster.
I mean, I like the idea of, I just feel like they should abandon the DCEU. That's my opinion. I just don't think it works, and I love the idea. Like, I'm not against a Joaquin Phoenix Joker movie specifically because it is alt. It doesn't have to be some kind of canonical thing. It exists on its own. It's like, you know, it would be cool. They could do like a Gotham by Gaslight movie. They could do like a million things where it's like these characters in different periods of time, different like people's visions of what this character would be like under certain circumstances, because people like Batman and Wonder Woman and Superman, and the Joker, these characters are so iconic. People know who they are. Like, you come out of the womb, and it's like, you know who Batman is. You know what I mean? Like, people know. So do you really need to tell, like, more origin stories? I don't think
it's necessary. Origin stories are just so easy, structurally.
But they're not listening to their audience, I think. I mean, like, so many people are fans of The Flash, and then what do? You recast The Flash with a different actor and tell a different story. Like, there's all these people right here who want a Flash movie that ties into storylines that they've been actively supporting.
And actually, I just got to the bottom of another reason that I'm not enthused about this, because I don't want an anti-hero movie. I don't want the Joker as a protagonist of a film. He's
a
villain.
I do feel kind of weird about
that.
Oh,
you want
to
keep him as a villain?
No, and I just...
Penguin origin story.
No, it's more just my sentiment about movies and storytelling right now in general. I think we need more main characters and heroes who are good and compassionate and empathetic, and like at your Atticus Finches of the world, versus let's watch this person be a badass on screen and it's fun because they're just killing people. And like, anyway, so I don't want to see the Joker painted as someone I'm supposed to identify with or sympathize with on some level.
Yeah, it's weird. I mean, this is just like, there was a sort of like a tagline, right? When they said it was going to happen, they're like, oh, it's going to be an exploration of a man disregarded by society. Is not only a gritty character study, but also a broader cautionary tale. Cautionary tale to what? That, like, I didn't listen to somebody's man pain, so their face got whiter than usual, and then...
No, but whenever I hear terms like cautionary tale, I think of, like, Pushkin. I'm, like, not
well,
thinking
no, and the
of...
Thing is, the thing is, you have to think of how people will respond to this stuff. Breaking Bad is theoretically a cautionary tale,
there
right? Everything he does is awful. He destroys his life and the life of his family. But nobody was thinking that when they were watching the movie. Everybody was like, oh, Walter White is such a badass. Look at his cool speech about being Heisenberg and all this stuff.
Yeah, we're also having this problem with Rick and Morty. Like,
right.
People don't realize that, like, Rick Sanchez is a cautionary tale. Don't be like Rick.
Right.
Meanwhile, everybody thinks Rick's the coolest.
Right. And that's, and I guarantee, well, I wouldn't guarantee you, but I would bet money that, you know, no, they're not going to portray the Joker as, like, don't be, you know, it's like a man abandoned by, so that's exactly, we have so many stories about that. Society's let you down, so you have to take matters into your own hands.
Yeah, it's,
and,
like, you know what, there's already a subreddit for men going their own
not
way.
Just,
I don't know
that
we need a movie about
it. We could really, really go down a political rabbit hole here, so I'm not going to.
No,
but it's not a story that I respond to right now, personally.
And I completely agree. And along the same lines, it's one of the reasons why I just can't get into Purge right now, because mm-hmm. I'm like, nope, I can't do this, because this is sort of like, this is what we have to do. And if people are going to the movies for escape, and you're going to superhero movies for escape, and you're having this anti-hero tell you, oh, this is what you should be doing instead because society sucks and government sucks, and this is the closest we're getting to politics, I promise, is that that whole art imitates life, imitates art thing gets very dicey, and then that's when we have to deal with the insane trolls, and I gotta block people, and I'd just rather not. So I'm gonna agree with you on that sentiment, because I don't think we need it.
I mean, you thought you escaped politics, but we're about to talk about Scarlett Johansson getting another movie, a thing that I categorically think she should never get again. Gosh, I won't go too into it, but like, y'all can start. Like, they're going to make a Black Widow movie. They got a director now. How do you feel about that?
Okay, first let's tell everybody what the whole thing
Kate
is.
Kate Shortland.
Yeah, because Kate Shortland didn't do anything wrong.
No, right. I'm not mad at Kate Shortland.
And she's an Australian director, I think.
I don't remember.
Yes, she is.
Not done... I heard she actually has.
She did a World War II. She did a World War post World War II movie. Yeah.
And apparently, Johansson actually really fought for her to have
that
director get the job. So I hope she does a good job. I'm just talking not like opinion now, just facts. So basically, I think it's supposed to come. They haven't announced when it would come out. I guess it's looking at 2020 or something like that. And it's supposed to take place before the first Avengers,
which
before, I think even before all of Phase One, before Iron all Man, of phase before one. Anything. Yeah.
So I'm going to assume there's going to be somebody else also cast in this, because Natasha the actress has aged since then. So they could do hair, makeup, and stuff. But I'm assuming they're gonna go all the way back to the Red Room to, and I hope they do what they did in Captain America's girlfriend that had a show. Agent Carter. I hope they go back to the Red Room, kind of like that they portrayed a little bit in Agent Carter, and show them as kids and what they went through. I hope they go there and forward, and not just stick to like a 2-year period of craziness, because then that's Red Sparrow.
Yeah.
So in terms of what they announced in, who I'm glad it finally has a director. I'm glad that they were looking at different women directors.
I'm glad it's interesting, because it's like, on one hand, I am glad that they have a female director for this movie. On the other hand, I'm looking forward to when a female director directs Avengers. Or, why is it as much, it's like, yes, I'm glad that Patty Jenkins directed Wonder Woman, and, we're getting more female directors in there, but it bugs me out a little bit that it's like, it's a female superhero movie, so that's where we put the female directors, and we'll put the guys on the Iron Mans, and it's like,
I'm in agreement there.
I'm glad that opportunity is happening for Kate Shortland, and it's just interesting, because like a month ago this news would have been celebrated so much more, and then things happened, and
I don't know, because Ghost in the Shell came out,
but I think people were ready to not necessarily forgive and forget on Ghost in the Shell in terms of the forget part, but I don't think that was as bad as what's gone down with Scarlett Johansson in the past.
I mean, like, look, mistake, two things is a pattern.
And it's more like her response to the feedback was really, really bad.
So wait, let's tell everybody what happened in case there's people listening who don't know what we're talking about.
So she is going to be starring in the role of a actual real trans man, or a transmasculine person. It's going to be like a biopic sort of thing. And people reached out and were like, hey, this is kind of messed up. Could you maybe not do that? Could you maybe just start casting trans people in trans roles? Like, you don't let trans people have cis roles. So like, can we at least have this? And she basically was like, oh, go talk to Jeffrey Tambor's agent about that. And I was like, really? Yeah. So Jeffrey Tambor is who you're going to bring out, the guy who notably, like, multiple trans women have come forward and said that, like, specifically because they were part of an oppressed minority, he took advantage of them sexually. Like, that's the one. That's your judgment call. So here's what I'm going to say here right now. Black Widow is the first Marvel movie that I will not see. I refuse to watch it. I will never watch it so long as I live. that woman, it, like what she has said and done with this to me is so heinous. I'm so furious with her. Like, it's just like, and the thing is, nobody else has to feel this way. You know, I have really strong feelings about this particular issue. Like, you know, like it wasn't for me to jump in about Ghost in the Shell. I didn't like that. I didn't respect that. But as somebody that like has led a pretty gender fluid life, who like has been through a lot of these struggles, like both in my personal and professional existence, for her to think that she can step into this role and have a clue, especially now when I feel like we have finally started to make some kind of forward momentum here. Like, it was different. Like, when Boys Don't Cry came out, like, that was, you know, a long-ass time ago. I mean, I wasn't thrilled about it then either, but, like, we're supposed to have reached a point now. Like, we're living in a generation of people where, like, if you want to know about this information, you can go on social media and get educated real quick.
I wouldn't go on social media. I would probably go to
I mean, like, but that's
Google.
Like one. But the thing is, like, there are a lot of people on social media
who
that
will
really,
answer your questions.
Really,
yes.
Can. And also, yeah, like, have been answering those questions. And, like, I just... it's very frustrating to me, right?
Because
like
the sad thing about it is, and I completely agree. I understand what you're saying, and I completely feel your sentiment. What I'm also saying, and I'm not defending her in any way, is it's very just like Adam said, like a month ago, like none of this might have come up, and it's this whole thing where people are tired of having their choices questioned on social media, so they answer badly.
Yeah,
they answer in ways it's like, what?
I mean, listen, like taking the role is one thing, and I even still, like, Ed Skrein, I don't know how to pronounce his name, you know, moved the goalposts on that when he turned down the role in Hellboy, to avoid the whitewashing of it, and so that, you know, that is the gold standard now, and you would hope that that's what someone like Scarlett Johansson would live up to. But she took the role. Okay. When that feedback comes to respond, like you said, negatively, and or, you know, there was a very easy way to respond to that, which was like, listen, I hear and understand your concerns. It's very important to me to play this role to the best of my ability. I'm going to, you know, be in contact and communication with the trans community to make sure this movie comes, you know, respects them and everything like that. Or whatever wording it was, there was a way to at least mitigate some of the damage or make yourself seem like you gave a crap.
Yep.
And the things that she said made it seem like she doesn't give a crap. And that stinks. And it's just weird that we now have, like, you know, in another world, we'd be like celebrating the fact that there's a Black Widow movie. It's going to be, you know, Marvel's making movies with female leads now. Oh, my God. Finally, this is happening. You know, whatever, this character is getting her due. And instead, there's the pall over it. And that's just a shame. It's a shame that she did that.
There's more people. And this keeps happening. Like, something similar happened a couple weeks ago with Sorry to Bother You, which I think is a phenomenal movie. But Lakeith Stanfield, for some reason, was doing some method type of something on his Instagram and went on some homophobic tirade. And people were like, what? Where is this coming from? What are you talking about? And he came out later and said, oh, I was getting the character for something. And it's like, why would you put that on Instagram?
Yeah.
And also, why wouldn't you caption it to say that?
Yeah.
It was the most bizarre thing ever. And now all these, it's frustrating because once again, and it just keeps happening where it's like, yes, all these things are needed. And then I just feel like I've had like a summer of this, like all these things need to happen and all these voices need to be heard. But then it's one person saying something stupid that, like, and I'm completely agreeing with the fact that she said something stupid. But now I feel bad for this director and I feel bad for, like, all of the people who are signing on to this amazing, what they thought was an amazing film that might not make the money it's supposed to make because of something stupid.
Oh, well.
That's who I feel for, not Scarlett Johansson.
Yeah, no, I understand. Like, I don't want to belabor it. Like, here, you know, like, I'll tell you what, like, Captain Marvel, I'm there. Give me a call when you're going to make a Shuri movie.
Yeah, please,
give me a call,
honey,
when the Ms. Marvel movie's coming out. A lot of movies I'm interested in seeing. This one, unfortunately, for me personally, like, and this is not a vendetta. This is not me putting a podcast out saying, like, if you see it, you're wrong. Make your own decision. Like, this for me personally, like, that's an attack. I'm mad about it, and I'm not willing to support her work anymore. The end.
Yeah, I just hope, Brie, don't say anything dumb before Captain Marvel comes out. Please, honey.
Yeah.
Please, girl, just call. Hit me up on Twitter if you have a question about something. Please.
Yeah.
Don't. Don't say anything bad before this movie comes out because we all want Captain Marvel to work.
Yeah. Anyway, here's some exciting news. G. Willow Wilson, speaking of Ms. Marvel,
yes.
Who is the co-creator of the latest incarnation of Ms. Marvel, which has been going strong for now several years, long enough that like I was still working in a comic book store selling that book. Kamala Khan's really great. Like that's a Muslim character in New Jersey, which as a person who grew up in New Jersey, kind of a racist state, but really portrayed in this very positive light.
I grew up in Jersey too. I can attest to that.
I was
going to
say, yeah, like just fact. You know what I mean? Like, and like the part of New Jersey she's from, I'm like, yeah, I know that spot. So, but what's great about her is that, you know, she's portrayed as a fan of superheroes, and like I think it was very smart.
She's portrayed like a human being.
Yeah, but it was also smart to like put her in a spot where like she's a shapeshifter, because you know, like if you are any kind of minority, you constantly feel like you got to shapeshift around in order to find your spot in this world. So I thought that was very astute, and you know, G. Willow Wilson was a huge part of this process and was the writer for
and
a very long time.
Aminat also.
Yes, absolutely. But G. Willow Wilson is now going to move on. She's going the way of Brian Michael Bendis, going to DC. It's not the first time she's been at DC, but it's kind of been a minute. And she's going to be doing Wonder Woman. And that's exciting to know that there's like, you know, you have got, like I wrote this, I don't know if it'll make it on the site or not, but like, I think it's great to
not
say
won't.
Like, here we go, that here we have like an Israeli woman playing Wonder Woman, and now who is writing Wonder Woman but a Muslim woman. And I think that is like, that's pretty great. I feel really good about that.
It is good, but I'm also excited because G. Willow Wilson is also an excellent writer.
Of course, absolutely.
She's an amazing writer, and I'm not, once again, I'm happy. Please, and also, Willow, please don't say anything stupid before this comic comes out because we want to support this.
I trust her. She's usually, yeah, she's very good. She's very good.
But yeah, she's a really good writer, and I look forward to the dialogue because she's excellent at that and excellent at, I don't know who the artist, I don't know if they announced the artist yet, but she's very good, at least with Ms. Marvel, at having these moments that are so real and these conversations that feel very real. And I think that's one thing that Wonder Woman needs. It needs, everybody says it needs to be updated. It's not that so much. I think it needs more of the realism. And once again, I think some of what made the movie so successful was some of that realism that was portrayed in some of the dialogue. So I look forward to that. But yeah, I'm excited. I congratulated her.
Yeah, it's really, I would say that I am more excited about this than Bendis writing Superman. And I mean, I like Brian Michael Bendis. He's a talented guy, but man, G. Willow Wilson being on
he's
Wonder
wordy,
Woman
but he's
is,
good.
I just think, I think it's a really inspired choice, and I think it's exciting for her, who she's been writing this younger person now to get a chance to write. I have no idea what age range where in Diana's life it's going to be, but like she is a more mature individual. She is,
but she did say she's going, the tweet she put out was, we're going to Themyscira.
Yeah,
so I'm hoping that we're there and not here trying to explain things to Trevor as usual.
Yeah, I mean, regardless, I think it's really exciting news. I think it's a really smart move from DC, and it's probably one of the first comics in a minute that I like comics news that I've been like really, 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 really excited about. You know, like new Vertigo books, that was exciting news. And I'm sure that new things will come out all the time that I'll be like, that's interesting. But G. Willow Wilson on Wonder Woman, I think, is inspired, and I think is going to be a really great series. So that's that. There's great news.
All right.
And then there's movie news that I don't know how I feel about, which is Neil Blomkamp.
Oh, yes.
I can't say his name. How
Blomkamp.
Blomkamp. Okay.
He's going to be directing a new RoboCop movie, apparently. Adam, you are not really thrilled about this, is my understanding.
I'm not. I mean, it's interesting what they're going to do with it. I guess the guys who are writing it wrote, it's from a, like, isn't it from like a, un? They had an idea for a sequel that just never got made, and now it's being resurrected or something.
Yeah, I don't.
And what I heard, isn't it have something to do with a reality TV star becoming president or something? It seems a little timely.
Yeah. I mean, there's a lot, the thing sounds
completely unrealistic.
Yeah,
but
the thing about Neil is that, like, the idea to me of, like, I keep waiting for him to make the next District 9 because that movie was so great, and I've never really liked anything else that he's done.
Right.
Really, especially. But The idea of a District 9 RoboCop movie does appeal to me. Something that is in that style, like, could, I think, could be great. And the thing about RoboCop as a character is that, like, it's again, it's really timely. Like, you know who people, by and large, don't really trust right now? Any authority. People do not trust the police. People do not trust the government. Like, it is kind of the, if you were going to tell that story in a way that is the 21st century, I mean, the risk is being so on the nose.
That's the thing. And that's the other thing, too, is, like, one of the things that Verhoeven, like, just did so well of like, to make this political and social satire film, it was more that than an action movie. I mean, people think of it as the sci-fi action movie, but really, it was 10 times more political and social satire and commentary. And I worry that this being done, this new RoboCop within the studio system, much like the RoboCop 2014, was that when the RoboCop
last
came out?
I don't even remember. That was...
Yeah. It's studios now, you know, they think of it as this action thing, and you know, you got to have big set pieces and CGI and blah 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 blah, and none of that matters to actually what RoboCop, the original RoboCop, is about. So that's one concern. And then I mean my whole thing is, like, this is me tilting it, you know, the wind, because this will never stop, is just this idea of needing to reboot and sequelize everything. RoboCop was great. RoboCop 2, I even say I enjoyed. But we can stop. It's okay. Like, there's no need for another RoboCop. So many great stories to tell out there, man. I see what you're saying in terms of, like, there are a lot of themes that could very easily be explored around what's going on in society today.
I mean, look, all
via a RoboCop film, but I just don't know that there's
you don't,
can be
you
explored.
Don't trust that they would do that, big company could.
Well, and those
really
themes can
well.
Be explored. There's a lot of other... Get creative, man. There's a lot of other ways to science fictionize what's going on in the world today. And why does it have to be RoboCop?
I mean, look, I'm cautious about it. What I'm saying is I'd buy that for a dollar. But would I pay the full price for a movie ticket? I don't know yet. Yeah. It's pretty early days, but I'm not completely against it. It could be good, but there's probably better chance that it won't be.
Well,
it's really hard to recapture lightning in a bottle, and RoboCop really, like, the fact that 2 and 3 and the TV series and, like, the cartoon and the remake, that none of those are really, to me, I mean, like, even close to what that original is, does say a lot. That's really where more of my concern comes from, is not anything else other than RoboCop so far has really worked one time.
Right. And Neil Blomkamp so far has really worked one time.
So it's a marriage made.
There you go.
Something.
There you go.
Anyway, so who knows? I'm not against it yet, but we'll see. It's interesting, and certainly
it's
the right era to have conversations about RoboCop.
That's true.
I'll tell you about a good cop who's surrounded by corruption and still, despite everything, manages to be a good person even when his humanity is completely taken away. I don't know. That's a good story. Hey, here's what I'll say: rewatch RoboCop.
Yes.
Good, always timely movie. I can't think of a single time in my complete existence when it wasn't good to watch that movie. Valuable lessons all around. But hey, the Emmys.
Yes.
That was the other big thing that happened this week. A lot of nominations came out, and I feel like everything was really coming up Sci-Fi Millhouse.
It's amazing. I was looking through the nominations this morning, and the idea that half of the outstanding dramas are science fiction shows or fantasy. And, like,
it shows where society is. Like, they really, please don't let us watch the news or reality.
I mean, think back to the time. Think back to the time when the only thing sci-fi on TV was, like, Earth Final Conflict, right? And now.
Yes, quote, Gene Roddenberry's Earth.
Roddenberry's Earth Final Conflict, which I will admit I watched in syndication many, many times because it was on right before I went to bed. But just to think about that era of science fiction television and where how far we have come is really staggering when you think about it. I mean, I at that time, if you had told me there would be just a slew of science fiction and fantasy shows that people would take that seriously on TV, I would have laughed in your face.
If you had told me years ago that there would be a show starring the Stepford Cuckoos, I would have told you were out of your mind.
I don't know what
but
that
Gifted,
is.
Gifted put those X-Men on there.
Oh. Yeah, that is true.
There's a lot of science fiction characters and people and things that you're like, How?
Yeah.
Really?
Yeah, it's Grant, like, Morrison is having a good life, I guess,
bit.
Between that and Happy and
Yeah.
I mean, look at Legends of Tomorrow with the whole Bebo thing. I mean, that was that's just that show is nominated for an Emmy, but it's just like, again, like.
But it's great. And I think that's like, you know, you look and it's like, so here we've got Game of Thrones had a lot of stuff up, Stranger Things, USS Callister, the episode from Black Mirror was up for a bunch.
Handmaid's Tale.
And the thing is, like, the two biggest, like we can say, like, oh, sci-fi escapism, but not really in my opinion, because the two biggest shows for nominations were Westworld.
Yep.
Or Game
and
of Thrones
Handmaid's
was
Tale.
Number one.
Was it still number one? But like,
I think so.
That's not surprising.
Game of Thrones was number, or Westworld was like number two. No, wait a minute. Maybe I'm wrong.
I think it was
right.
Handmaid's Tale and Westworld. They were the two big ones. And the thing is, like, those shows are not escapism. Those shows are ostensibly
very
about
gritty.
What's happening right now. You know what I mean? Like, that's it. You know, like,
we are
2 inches from Gilead. We're right there. Every day there's more news that suggests that that's where we're headed. And... yeah, and Westworld is also
Westworld's
about...
Westworld's up for 11.
Yeah, it's a lot. And so, yeah, I mean, like, are they a kind of escapism? I suppose. But they're really, as good science fiction often is, they're about what's happening in the world.
Right.
So, yeah, and it's just like a ton of...
I miscounted before somebody yells at me. They're up for 6. I'm sorry. They've won in the past.
Oh, okay.
But this is 6. They've
6
won 11
this time
before,
for Westworld.
Mm-hmm.
And Peter Dinklage is now, I read, the most nominated supporting actor
of all time.
Of all time, I think, in the Emmys.
Yep.
Yeah.
I guess he really
does drink and know things about getting nominated.
But think about how many science fiction things he's been in.
It's true.
He's been in Thor. He's been in X-Men. He's been, like, he's very, very smart.
He's in that movie, Pixels. He also picks a lot of stinkers, too.
He does pick and choose roles that are... that I think other people wouldn't think are that important, but he's found his niche. The same thing with Jeffrey Wright, honestly. Jeffrey Wright is one of those people that if he's going to be in a movie, I'm watching, because he could literally be the dude sweeping the floor and just make something really incredible out of it.
Yeah.
I followed him for like, even before he was really, really popular, when he was doing some stage actor work, and he's one of those people that, as we now know, can act with his eyebrow, but like, it's incredible, and I'm not going to spoil the season, but I think anybody who's watched last season knows that he played both an android and a human. And to see the nuances of that, and Tandy Newton, I'm just a huge Tandy Newton fan anyway. So I'm really, really excited that. But there's a couple nominations, I think we talked about this before the podcast started, that we think are missing.
Well, sure. I mean, I wanted Alison Brie to get nominated for Glow. I thought she should have gotten nominated last year. For the whole monologue of her showing off her moves to Marc Maron alone, where she was like going through, like wrestling herself, basically, because that was just a peak physical and comedic acting altogether. But so I was bummed not to see her on that list. I mean, sci-fi wise and genre wise, I can't really complain.
I don't know. I feel pretty good about it.
We don't know what to do because we can't be angry about it.
I know.
Even other stuff that was like, is it genre? The thing is that like anything I watch always feels like it's related. So like the Sandra Oh news was like really huge for me. Like having just sat down and watched all of Killing Eve in like one shot.
You did?
I just sat down and watched the whole thing.
I'm not
like I just dedicated
yet. Wow.
A whole day. Because as soon as I started watching it, I was like, well, that's the end of my life until I'm done watching this.
That's the end of my weekend.
And it's sad that it took this long to get an Asian American woman in that.
I couldn't believe that when I heard
nominated.
That.
Like, that's the first time. It's disappointing. But I'm really glad that it's Sandra Oh, because if there's anybody I can think of off the top of my head who has just been out there, like, bringing in, I think, incredible performances about really flawed, complex characters. It's her. I really think that she's one of the best performers of the last, especially TV performers of the last, like, 20 years. And so I'm thrilled that it's her. I wish that it didn't take so long, but it was a nice feeling just to see her out there. And
it's so weird. In my head, I just knew she had won for Sideways. I guess in my head, I just wanted that to happen.
Well, that's a movie, though.
Yeah, it's a movie. So, yeah, I mean, anyway, I'm thrilled for it pretty much all around.
Yeah.
And now, just to kind of like barrel through everything, we're going to finish on San Diego because it's so soon. And we'll obviously talk about it in more detail next week. But
When we're there.
When we are literally there all hiding out in my hotel room talking about it. And
drinking heavily.
Yeah, almost certainly.
Oh, yes. Cool. Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. I actually have been like I'm not drinking this week or until I'm there. I'm on
Which basically means you're going to be wasted.
No, I think I'll be good. I usually like, we'll save it for the moments. I don't know how everybody else operates, but I actually don't drink a lot at conventions.
I don't either.
Like, I don't either
because there's so much work to be done that
morning.
I can't do it.
Right.
Because
we're working. Yeah. Everybody else gets to drink and party, but we have to go to the party for 10 minutes and then go.
Yep.
Because we got to get back and write and work and do hair and makeup first thing in the morning.
Yeah. So, yeah. And I gotta try to look good. So that's why I gotta shave my mustache and like all these things.
You keep saying this, but I don't believe it.
We're gonna see this mustache
at San Diego.
I'm going to cut it today. I'm going to go home. I just wanted to go and take a photo with our features editor who was making fun of me about it.
You need to record this and put it on Instagram.
It will absolutely happen. So, all right. Other than that stuff, what is everybody looking forward to so far at San Diego?
It's such an interesting year this year. There's no Marvel. Marvel films, I should say.
Yeah, it's very DC heavy.
And Marvel movies have owned this convention for the past 3 years running easily. Like, it's been the highlight of the con in terms of people's attention. So, no Game of Thrones and no Star Wars. You know, it's just these are three franchises that have dominated conversations at these cons, so it's kind of anybody's game. The big one, I think, movie wise, everybody's talking about is the Warner Brothers panel, where we're going to learn more about Aquaman and probably other DC properties. I would imagine at least one will get teased, or like maybe a Shazam trailer or something like that, since they're already shooting Shazam. But movie wise, this is, I mean, honestly, if there's any time for the DCEU to step up, this is it, because they've got the stage to themselves. So that's kind of the big... it's more curiosity for me than excitement. I'm just really curious to see what they show off and what they make out of it.
Karima?
I'm excited because I want to see two things. First of all, Uhura. Nichelle Nichols is going to be on several panels, including a sci-fi fangirls panel.
That's right.
And Uhura is like my personal hero. I'm also excited to see Great Debate, because like John Barrowman fan and Orlando Jones, and I don't know how many people really know this, but I'm a huge Aisha Tyler fan. Like, Aisha Tyler for me as a grown-up, as a black woman geek, is like my patron saint. Like, she was the first person that looked and sounded like me that was like, I'm a gamer and I'm about to tell you how to do this and I really don't care what you think. And then I also saw her on other shows. You know, I saw her on Talk Soup. Yes, she's on Friends and stuff like that. But I'm talking about, like, the geek genre stuff. Like, Aisha Tyler has such a huge resume and is so well-rounded. And I've listened to her podcast. I've seen her Netflix stuff. Like, she's just such an incredible person. And I'm like, it's so funny because my panel I was talking about for Night Flyers is, like, right before Great Debate. And I was trying to figure out, I've got to somehow run to the other side of the building or get upstairs or whatever to the other room to get to see this panel. So I'm really, really excited to see that. And then I think the other thing I'm excited to see also is all the announcements about Deadly Class, because I love the comic, and I also am really excited to see Lana Condor, who is going to be playing Saya. Lana Condor, for you guys who don't remember, was robbed as her role in Jubilee in X-Men Apocalypse a few years ago. There was in the ads, she had all these lines and all these roles. In the movie, she had nothing. I really am excited to see her and any other announcements about that. And then the rest, comics. I think there's a lot of indie comic announcements that are going to be made. I'm really looking forward to the Valiant Deadshot. I don't know what they're going to announce, but the movie is coming out, and it's coming out with Vin Diesel in the fall. So they've got to do something. I'm looking forward to that. Just literally bouncing around and checking out Artist Alley as well as some of the animation stuff. But yeah, I'm saying this like I'm going to have time to do all this stuff.
Right.
But I'm hoping at some point I do maybe Sunday for like an hour.
I try to block out a 2 to 3 hour chunk, I think, usually on Sunday, where it's like, because Sunday, the big climax of the con tends to happen on Saturday evening, mm-hmm. and so Sundays we still have to work, but it's a little lower key. I just to walk the floor for two or three hours and see what's going on and then check things out. I have to have that. And I use, my favorite thing is actually being there for the closing bell.
Yeah.
At the last, when the whole thing's over. It's over because I'm wearing my Strong Bad shirt and and just like to have that moment of just like we made it. We all did it together.
We all survived.
Hundreds of thousands of people.
Look, I'm not going to lie. I'm going to be taking over Sci-Fi's Snapchat for a little bit, and I'm literally going to use that as my excuse to run around and see things.
There you go.
And say that it's work, but I'm still looking at stuff because you just, we don't get, you know, that much of a chance. So if you see me and I look like glassy-eyed, just please hand me coffee or water. Maybe both.
Danny, what are you looking forward to most?
Honestly, the thing is that, like, me and cons is that I barely think about them until I'm in it because I get panicked. Cons get me very stressed. And if I think about it at all, I'll go crazy. So what I'm thinking about is when I get there on Wednesday, I'm going to see some friends that I haven't seen in a while. And then when Sunday arrives, I'll be able to like really actually talk to them in a chill, relax when it's all over kind of way. So that's it. I'm basically right now just excited for the book ending of getting to hang out with people that I very rarely get to see. And then once I'm in it, I'm sure I'll be excited about panels and stuff. It's just that I have no idea when I'm even going to have time to do that's for me. So, I mean, I'm very excited. Like you said, great debate. I think it's going to be great. I think that the Fangirls panel is phenomenal. The lineup is really incredible.
It's like Gail Simone and a whole bunch of other amazing.
It's an unbelievable. And Sana Amana is going to be there. Yep. Gail Simone also going to be there. It's a wild panel. So I'm excited for that too. And yeah, I agree with the comic sentiment. I think that this year is going to be an interesting step back to the comics world in a way that San Diego hasn't done in a really long time.
No, yeah.
So I'm really looking forward to that. So there you go. All right.
And I think the other one I want to bring up that actually just occurred to me, and this is also a Warner Brothers thing, is Godzilla. I think they're going to show Godzilla King of Monsters or at least something from that.
Yeah.
And I am a person who really, really enjoyed the Gareth Edwards Godzilla. I know people were kind of down on it because there wasn't a ton of Godzilla in it.
Mm-hmm.
I dug it. And I, you know, people like Kong Skull Island for whatever reason.
It's because it's good. That's the reason, Adam. It's because it's a good movie.
But so seeing the next step in this giant monster universe that they're building. I mean, there was a lot hinted at the end of Kong in terms of the different monsters that we might see. And, you know, who knows? Will King Ghidorah show up? Will it be Rodan? We don't know.
Mothra. Yeah, I think Mothra's a lock.
I think Mothra is too because the
they referenced Mothra
it
in the last
at
movie.
At the end of, yeah, yeah.
But they referenced Mothra in the Godzilla movie.
I think Mothra, that's a tough, I think that, yeah, that's a hard thing to make. Like,
where's Mechagodzilla? That's what I want.
Yeah, I know. I love Mechagodzilla.
Everybody's fave.
It'd be a hard thing to make Mothra. How do you do Edgelord Mothra? Like,
wow.
Dark and gritty Mothra.
Wow.
You know what's great? We don't have to.
He's got a couple of fairies.
That's what I'm saying. Like, that's what I want.
Yeah.
Anyway, I'm down for that.
The only thing I was going to say is that, and some of that stress and anxiety, I was just talking to Kari Randolph, the comic book artist, and actually, he's the subject of my column this week, little plug, but he said, I asked him, like, so where are we going to find you at San Diego? And he's like, at the pool, at the Marriott. He says it's too stressful to be inside. He said, I take all my meetings. I do all my signings. I've even done a couple commissions right by the pool. He said, between the pool and the bar. And it's so funny because he's not wrong. It's so stressful. And then you come out there to be calm. And he's like, why not just stay calm and go in occasionally to be stressed?
Lord, I need to get to that spot in my career.
Yeah.
I like it.
So
the other thing I've seen actually a lot more of at the con this year, at least in terms of the announcements, is video games.
Yeah.
Video games have always kind of been like a, not an afterthought, but not like the little sibling of the con versus comics and movies and TV. And I'm seeing a lot of panels now. Capcom has a panel. What is it? Call of Duty Black Ops Zombies, I think, has a panel. Like there's a whole... Which is, you know, but I think that is a world that is going to, especially with some of the bigger movie players starting to take a little bit of a step back and do their own thing outside of San Diego. This is an opportunity for the gaming world to kind of fill a little bit of a space. And it'll be interesting to see how that happens. I mean, like, honestly, it's usually the games are off to one side of the convention center and that's kind of it. And I think that we might see a little bit of a shift with that this year. But we'll see. I remember that was one of my highlights of last year, I think, was, or was it 2 years ago, when I got to do hands-on with Breath of the Wild.
Oh, yeah.
For the first time, that was really, really cool. I was like, this is going to be a very popular game. And I was right. But I still have not gotten to play it because I don't own a Switch.
What a bold statement. Zelda game is going to be very popular.
No. But it was just like the open world and the way they handled everything. It was like really smart. And anyway, so yeah, I would look for some gaming news to come out of San Diego, which would be a bit of a shift from past years.
Yeah. All right. What do you want to hear? Thank you. Well, first of all, thank you for listening. This is the end of the podcast. If you are not subscribed to Who Won the Week, please subscribe to the podcast. Please make sure that you leave a review. It means a lot to us. And make sure that you're also listening to all the other podcasts in the Sci-Fi Wire family, Strong Female Characters, The Fandom Files, and those are the only ones I think that are presently running, but there's going to be a Winona Earp podcast. We just announced that. Mm-hmm. That's going to be coming up very soon.
Congrats,
and
Katie.
Yeah, that's correct. And yeah, Katie Wilson's doing that. And check out the Amazon podcast, Sue, on your Alexa, Untold Story, Debate Club, and Geeksplain.
Mm-hmm.
And yeah, we want to hear from you. We want to hear what you think about all the things that we talked about this week, because there was a lot. Hey, by all means, have you got positive things to say about Joker, Black Widow, RoboCop, anything?
We want to hear them, because apparently we don't.
Yeah, please, by all means, I want to hear alternate opinions to what we've got to say. Those are important to you. And before we wrap up, where can all of these lovely listeners find y'all on the internet?
You can find me, Karma, the Blurred Girl, TheBlurgurl, basically on Instagram and Twitter. Actually, for the most part, that's where I'm going to be for San Diego Comic-Con. And I will also be taking over the Sci-Fi Snapchat for a bit on Thursday. So look out for that, too.
And people can find me on Twitter and Instagram at RockTheFaces.
And my name is Danny Roth, and you can find me on Twitter and Instagram at DannyOrdinary. That is Danny with one N, Ordinary, also with one N. This has been Who Won the Week. Thank you for winning our week. We'll see you again next week.